ago about the Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as everyone knows, today is the auspicious appearance day of Narasimha Dev. Avirbhav, or appearance, is not like Janma. Janma in the material world means there's a mother and father and they produce another material body. And Avirbhav means a manifestation. There is no production of a body because it's eternal. It simply appears. As we see in the case of Narasimha Dev, it suddenly appeared from the stamba, from the column. And there was no birth, there was no fetus, nothing happening. Of course, sometimes we find it very mysterious, as in the case of Krishna, because it looked like he was in the womb, and he was developing for so many months, etc., and then he came out, and he was a small child, and he started growing, like a normal child. This, of course, is a little exception, because Krishna himself is called Param Brahman in a human form, Nara Akriti. He takes the form of a human, or Manushya. So, of all the different forms of the Lord, Krishna, when he appears in the material world, appears most like a human, and therefore many people will not detect that he's actually Supreme Lord, because he gets born in the normal way and he grows in the normal way and even dies like a normal person. So that's a little exception. In any case, even with Krishna, it is not a janma in the ordinary sense of the term. It is janma in conventional terms, and everybody believes it. Krishna was born from Vasudeva and Devaki or Yasoda and Nanda. But actually, this form of the Lord is eternal. There's no creation of these forms, any of these forms. Krishna as a small child coming out of the womb, Krishna as when he's 3 years old, Krishna when he's 5 years old, Krishna when he's 12 years old. They're all eternal. And there's no growth as such either, because the definition of Brahman or God is no change. He cannot change. So the mysterious factor here is, well, if the little child is God and the 4-year-old child is God and the 8-year-old child is God and the 12-year-old child is God and the 125-year-old adult is God also, how can he have so many forms? And how can he have so many eternal forms? So this, of course, is part of a larger question. How is it that the Supreme Lord can have not only the form of Krishna as a youth or as a baby or as an adult, or how can he have the form of a boar, a varaha, or a fish, matsya, or a turtle, kurma, or a bird, hamsa, or a snake, ananta, or horse, Hayagriva, or lion, Narasimha. Of course, not even a lion, half a lion. Okay, it's good if he's a lion, but if he's half a lion, half a human, that's even more strange. So how is it possible the Lord is one person and he's eternal and he can have so many forms and still be one and still be eternal? So this is the astounding shakti or power of the Supreme Lord. This is one distinguishing factor in our theology and philosophy, because most religions either say no form for God at all, or if he has a form, it can only be one form. So God may be an old man or a young man or whatever, but he's only one, he can't be many. And if he's one, he's a human form, he's not an animal form or a fish form. It's only one form. How can he have many forms? Then it'd be many persons. So, in our theology and philosophy, God by his power, his achintya shakti, can have many, 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 many forms and simultaneously be one. So he can have many Krishna forms and many forms of adult and child, etc. You have many Krishna forms in the Rasa Lila, 3 billion Krishna forms in the Rasa Lila, dancing with 3 billion gopis. Or he can be many forms like Vishnu and Narasimha and Ramchandra and Matsya and Kurma eternally. He can be all these forms and be one person. That is the power of the Supreme Lord. Special power. And that we can say is the one of the specialities of our philosophy, that God has got supreme power, so get him many forms and be one person at the same time. How that is so is very difficult for us to understand. But nevertheless, that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. So here we have the case of Narasimhadeva, remarkable form of the Lord in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami enumerates all of the different forms. Of course, the whole conclusion of Lagu Bhagavatamrita is the conclusion of Bhagavatam, this Bhagavatam, and that is to point out the supremacy of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, that he is all the forms of God, he is the supreme form. So that is actually the conclusion. But in the process of doing that, then he enumerates all the different avatars of the Lord, from the Purusha avatars to the Lila avatars of various forms, Shaktivesha avatars, etc., Yuga avatars, Manvantara avatars, all of them. Which is also listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the whole purpose is to begin classifying all the forms of God into lesser manifestations and greater manifestations. Which also sounds strange, because if God is supreme, how can he be less in some forms and more in other forms? But nevertheless, this is done with the explanation that since all are one, there is no inequality, but nevertheless, these eternal different forms manifest or show different amounts of qualities according to that particular form. So, avatar like Kapiladeva, his particular function is to give knowledge. That's what he does. He doesn't kill demons, he doesn't show great powers, he doesn't show universal form, he doesn't do any of this. So many are sages, Dattatreya, Vyasadeva, etc. Others, like Yuga avatars, what do? They preach Yuga Dharma, again, teaching, basically. Teach meditation or sacrifice or a temple worship or sankirtan. And they don't manifest great powers. Then we have others that start to show great powers. They kill demons, they rescue the Vedas, they manifest the Vedas, like the Hayagriva or whatever. Varaha kills Hiranyaksha, a great demon. So we have forms which show more powers because that particular form has a particular lila. So it's natural then that we will classify these different forms according to the amounts of qualities they show. And Rupa Goswami then shows that of all the different forms, we have, of course, Shaktivesha avatars who are not even the Lord, but they get special powers. And then above that, we get these forms like Kapila, etc., who are just show little manifestations, Mohini avatar, etc. Then we have those that show a little more power. Then we have those that show more power, like Hayagriva or Matsya or Kurma, etc., Varaha, Vamana. And then at the top he places Narasimha and Rama and Krishna as Purna avatar. They show much more powers than the others. And of course at the top he puts Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. So, in other words, the various forms manifest different amounts of qualities according to that particular form and then the particular activities that they show in that form. So that is example is given to show that actually it's all one. That is fire. If we have a deepa, little flame, lamp, it has the power to illuminate, and cast off light, reveal things to a limited degree. Maybe the light will go for 10 feet or 20 feet. Certainly it won't go over 100 feet. We'll do that. So its function basically is light. But we know, of course, it also, if you put a piece of paper there, it can burn the piece of paper up or whatever. So, and if you're really desperate, maybe, and you have cold hands, you could put your hand near the flame and it can get a little heat, a little bit. Then if we take a big fire, a bonfire, we put a lot of wood and make a big, big fire. That fire, of course, will cause more illumination. And of course, if you're cold and it's winter or something, then you can get some heat from it. Whereas a little light, you would not get any much heat from that. But if you have this big fire, even if it's a very cold night, then you can heat yourself up. Huh? So, there's a little fire and a big fire. And they're both the same, but the big fire, obviously, its functions are more because it can heat you up and cast more light, etc. Though ultimately, the Shakti is the same, because even with a little light, we could burn down a whole town. Just start lighting it up, and it could start burning down the whole town. Whether it's a big fire or a little fire, still the Shakti is there to burn down a whole town. So the potency is there in all the forms, and that's why they're all God. But they don't manifest it in that particular form, just like the Deepa manifests a little light, not so much heat. And the big bonfire will manifest a lot of heat and a lot of light, etc., and its function is a little more. So in this way, the different forms of God will manifest various qualities. Huh? And ultimately, as we go up and up and up, more and more, we get near the top, then we get Narasimha and Rama and Krishna, who manifest significantly more qualities than all the others. And so they're put in this category of Purna Avatar. And, of course, ultimately, the top we put Krishna. This is also, we can say, explained in the Nectar Devotion, where Rupa Goswami classifies qualities of God. And he puts Krishna with 64, and the Vishnu forms and avatar forms with 60. So there's extra ones in Krishna. Another interesting factor is that because Krishna is complete, every quality that any other form manifests must be in Krishna. It's a logical fact. Yeah? So therefore, when Krishna makes his appearance, he can manifest anything that Narasimha or Rama or any other form does. Any power, any demon that they can kill, he can also kill. Any particular talent that they show, he can also show. And another interesting fact is when Krishna appears, all the other forms merge into him. So he has all the forms in him. How is that possible? Because it's all one God anyway, one person. So all the forms, all those eternal forms merge into Krishna when he makes his appearance on earth. So within Krishna is Narasimha and Rama and Vraha and all these other forms. And they are. This is a form of showing that everything is in Krishna. So this is the remarkable nature of Swayam Bhagavan. So here we have the appearance of Narasimha, who shows significantly more powers and qualities than the other avatar forms. What is this particular power he shows and whatever? Here it says it is adbhuta rupam, very, very astonishing. Adbhuta actually is one of the rasas, astonishment rasa in the spiritual world. So Narasimha Dev is very astonishing. That's one of its qualities. Why is he astonishing? Of course, his very form is astonishing. When Hiranyakasipu saw him, he said, "What is that?" Looks like a lion, but he's not a lion because he's also got human body and got a lion head. This is very strange. That's one astonishment. So usually you see the avatars, Vraha is Vraha. He's a boar. Or if he's Matsya, he's a fish or whatever. A turtle or a human or whatever. But It's a combination here. Very astonishing. Huh? That's one astonishing factor, is rupa. And of course, we see that this form also did one thing, manifested thousands of arms to fight with thousands of soldiers. So it really could manifest. Usually we see him with four arms, but then we get eight-arm form of Narasimha, and then we get thousand-arm form of Narasimha also. Because a will, he can manifest all these arms and fight with thousands of soldiers. So his form is very astonishing. One astonishing aspect of that form is his lion-like face. So that lion-like face with his, it's described here, is that with his mane and his sharp teeth, and his pointed ears. Very astonishing. Why? Because the lion is, of course, the king of the animals. And among the vibhutis of the Lord mentioned in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of the animals, I am the lion. So he's the king of the animals. And that's a very kingly presence. But this lion form of the Supreme Lord was particularly different, we can say, or special, exceptional, because the lion is not only the king of the beasts, but he's very ferocious, and he will attack very boldly, even an elephant who's 20 times as big, and he'll jump on his back and claw him and bite him and kill him. So Narasimhadev displayed this anger, great ferocity in his face, with his teeth, and his eyes, piercing eyes. Right? In his name, etc. So, very, very astonishing in that way. And apart from the form, was the astonishing appearance of the Lord. Here it says he came from the stamba, out of the pillar, challenged by Hiranyakasipu, is your Lord everywhere? If he's everywhere, is he in the pillar? Then the Lord agreed to come out of the pillar. Yes, I'm in the pillar. So this is appearance place. As I said, normally the Lord may appear from a womb, like from Devaki's womb or Devahuti's womb, whatever like this. He appears from somebody. In the case of Graha, he appears from the nostril of Brahma. So this is even more extraordinary. He appears just from a column. A pillar, inanimate object. And this huge form is manifest. So his appearance itself is very astonishing. His manner of appearance out of a column. And then his activities are most astonishing. So this is described here in this chapter of how Supreme Lord as Narasimhadev kills Hiranyakasipu. So, of course, with that astonishing form, half blind, half man, he exhibits great ferocity in fighting with Hiranyakasipu and all of his soldiers. And at the same time, of course, Hiranyakasipu is a very great warrior, and he has all these soldiers. But the nature of the Supreme Lord is that a fight for the Supreme Lord actually is not much of a challenge at all. So it describes how it was like Garuda with a little snake. And Garuda will play with the snake and let him go and then catch him again, claw him a little bit, let him go, and catch him again like this. So this is the nature of Hiranyakasipu and Narasimhadev's fight. Ultimately, the Lord could do anything he wanted. Nevertheless, this is one aspect of the Lord which also was, understood by Jaya and Vijaya in the spiritual world. So they had a desire, let us actually become great demons and fulfill the Lord's desire to fight, because there's no one qualified to fight with the Lord and put up a good fight. All the demons are so weak, they can't do anything. So we'll be a little stronger and we'll put up a little competition for the Lord. That was their desire. So they became big demons. So the demon fights, Hiranyakasipu fights with great endeavor with great strength against Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord has this desire to fight. It's constitutional in the Lord because he has this rasa called virya rasa to show his stamina and his courage, his bravery, and his fighting spirit, like a kshatriya. So, he manifests that in the spiritual world, but there's no demons there. So he manifests that with his, like the cowherd boys. They fight. They have competition, they wrestle, they have games, and they compete with each other. Sometimes Krishna wins, sometimes he loses. That's the virya manifested in the spiritual world. With devotees. That's actually the original virya rasa. But then when he comes in the material world, it's often expressed with the demons. Not always, but often with the demons. Of course, this is a very secondary rasa now because the demons aren't devotees. Anyway, it satisfies the Lord. It is another pleasure of the Lord to fight with the demons and express his courage and bravery, etc. Just like in the material world, we have kshatriyas who like to fight. Either, you know, seriously or even in competition or whatever, or athletes the same. They like to compete and try to win. So this is also there in the Lord. So the opportunity in the material world is there to fight with the demons and display his virya. Good for the demons, because when a demon gets killed by the Lord, he doesn't go to hell. Even though he's an aparadi and whatever. The Lord has very great mercy on the demons that he kills, and they actually get very good positions. So we see that Hiranyakasipu, he didn't go to hell, he didn't get liberated, but he got very great enjoyment in his next birth as Ravana. So he was a king and he enjoyed very nicely by the mercy of the Lord, because he was killed by the Lord. So this is one of the qualities of the Lord, one of the 60 qualities that distinguish him from Jivas and from Shiva, is that when he kills demons, they get blessings. They don't go to hell. They don't necessarily get mukti or go to Vaikuntha, but at least they get elevated and they enjoy very nicely in the material world. Why? Because the Lord does not hate the demons at all. He should, of course, because he persecutes the devotees, but he doesn't really hate them as people in the material world hate another person. He's compassionate to everyone, and he makes arrangements for everybody. He also makes arrangements for demons, even those who fight with him are the greatest demons. So, that of course is another astonishing aspect of the Lord. He kills Hiranyakasipu, and Hiranyakasipu gets a nice birth as Ravana, another birth. Another astonishing aspect of this pastime is that because Hiranyakasipu had harassed Prahlad, his devotee, to such a great degree, Nrisimhadev could not give up his anger. It would look like it was uncontrolled anger, even though we know the Lord has got control of the senses, etc., and all this. It looked as if he could not control his anger. So he ultimately killed Hiranyakasipu, and he ripped open his body with his claws, and he pulled out his intestines and put it around his neck like a garland in a very ferocious manner. And still, after he was killed, he was full of anger. So much anger that no one could approach him. The devatas could not approach him, Brahma and Shiva, and Lakshmi could not approach him. No one had seen the anger of the Lord like this. Very astonishing. Because the Lord is most peaceful and gentle. We know that when Bhrigu tested him and everything, put his foot on his fist, the Lord was very peaceful, didn't get angry. But here, he's full of anger. Most astonishing how angry he could become. This, of course, was justified because Hiranyakasipu had harassed his devotee. And the Lord is very affectionate towards his devotee. And Prahlad was a great devotee. In spite of his small age, he was only like 5 years old. Nevertheless, his devotion was very, very strong. Therefore, the Lord's attachment to his devotee was very strong. So strong that he couldn't even get rid of his anger at Hiranyakasipu, even after he had killed him. And that was this due to the attachment for his devotee. So actually, it's not his anger which is outstanding, it's his attachment to his devotee, which is most astonishing. This is why he had such great anger, because of attachment to his devotee. And that is illustrated by the fact that after no one could approach to pacify his anger, they pushed Prahlad forward. And then when Narsimhadev saw Prahlad, then Narsimhadev smiled. Anger completely gone, instantly. Because of his affection for his devotee. When he saw the devotee, instantly, that's all he could think of. This is my devotee. And he felt great love for him, great affection for him. So, very astonishing. Great anger, suddenly, great mercy. Very, very great change. So, this is the Adbhuta nature of Narsimhadev, most astonishing nature of Narsimhadev. His appearance, his qualities manifest during the fight, and his qualities manifested afterwards in his great anger, etc. His form also, very, very astonishing. So, as I said, he appeared not as a human and not as a animal, but kind of half-half. Interesting mixture. So he had the lion head, and then he had the, and even arms, I suppose, because his claws were lion claws, and the bottom part was human. The feet part was the human part. So this was not a normal combination. Normally it's either all animal or all human, half-half. Interesting combination. So this interesting combination also had a reason, and that was because of the desire not to break the promise that Brahma had given to Hiranyakasipu, that he could not be killed in so many ways by weapons or on the land or on the sea or in the air or by any human or any animal or any deva or any demon or anybody like this. So all the different conditions were listed by Hiranyakasipu so that then nobody could kill him. Even if he couldn't be immortal, no, at least no one could kill him. That's what he thought. All the conditions of time, place, and instruments, etc. Tried to cover everything. But the Supreme Lord agreed to follow all those conditions and show that he's more clever. And in spite of all those conditions, he can make a form which is doesn't break any of the rules and can still kill the demon. So he wasn't an animal, he wasn't a human, he wasn't a deva, but he was half man and half animal. And he didn't have to use a weapon because he used claws. And he didn't kill him in the night or the day, he killed him in between, in the twilight, which was neither day nor night. And he didn't kill him on the land or the air or everywhere, he killed him on his lap. So in this way, the Lord agreed to follow the promise of Brahma, which was proposed by Hiranyakasipu, and not break that. At the same time, he showed his cleverness by making a form and doing his activities in such a way that still Hiranyakasipu could not escape. So this is another aspect of the pastime, the reason for the pastime. So behind this whole incident, of course, we have the whole history of how Jai and Vijay got cursed by the Kumaras, and then they decided, well, we will decide, we'll take 3 births as demons and then go back to the spiritual world because they had offended the Kumaras, etc. At the same time, they had a desire to fight with the Lord, etc. So we should not think that the devotees in the spiritual world have some fault, that they become angry or whatever. Even look like they became angry, and also the Kumaras became angry, even though they're in Shantarasa and they're Shaktivesh avatars of the Lord, and supposed to be very peaceful. They also got angry. A very strange incident in Vaikuntha where we have anger manifesting and then suddenly everyone gets cursed and they fall out of the spiritual world into the material world. How is that possible? Huh? So we must understand one thing, it's an arrangement of the Lord. It's not a normal jiva. They are nitya-siddha associates of the Lord. So they cannot really make mistakes. So if this anger is manifest on the part of the Kumaras and on the part of Jai and Vijay, it's the Lord's arrangement for his own pastimes. So he can actually fight in the material world with the great demons. Huh? There is an interesting explanation given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur about the falling of Jaya and Vijay. But actually they didn't fall because the Lord is so attached to his devotees in the spiritual world, he cannot bear separation for more than a second, what to speak of three births. So therefore, they didn't fall. So who fell? Who were these giant Vijay and are becoming Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha and Shishupal, etc.? Expansions. The Lord expanded giant Vijay and they became demons. The original form is still there with Vishnu in the spiritual world because he cannot bear separation. Their expansions came in the material world and they did all these demon activities, whatever. And then they went back. Acharyas also explain that this doesn't happen all the time. It's every day of Brahma, of course, Narasimhadev comes in Chakshusha Manvantara. Every day he'll come. And he'll kill, Narasimhadev will kill Hiranyakasipu. It's not the same jiva. And it's not Jaya and Vijaya that fall out of the spiritual world every day. Because that's not good, but every day the devotees fall out of the spiritual world. That is a one-time activity. But normally it's not. There's other demons, jivas, Jaya, or who are Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha, and Ravana, etc. So normally it's not Jaya and Vijaya. So this story of the three births of Jaya and Vijaya in the material world is used to illustrate something, that is the progressive superiority of qualities manifested in Narasimhadev, Rama, and Krishna. So the explanation is this. When Hiranyakasipu was killed by Narasimhadev, he was reborn as Ravana. He was killed by Ramchandra. And because he's killed by a form of the Lord, then he doesn't go to hell, he gets promotion. He became Shishupala. When Krishna killed Shishupala, did he take another birth? No. He went to Vaikuntha. So there's a difference. When Krishna killed, he went to Vaikuntha. When Narasimha killed him, same person. And when Ramchandra killed the same person, they didn't go to Vaikuntha. They simply got some elevation in the material world. So what is the reason? Of course, you can say, well, mercy, Krishna's more merciful, shows more mercy. No, that's there, of course. But one is, the real reason is attractiveness. Krishna is most attractive. All the forms of the Lord are attractive, of course, spiritually attractive and spiritually beautiful, but Krishna has more attractiveness. He's got 64 qualities, and the others have less. Because of that attractiveness, the demons, even if they hate the Lord, fix their mind on the Lord. Whereas with Narasimhadeva or Ramchandra, they see the Lord and, it must be Vishnu. But they don't concentrate on him, they fight with him and they get killed. When Sishupala and Dantavakra heard about Krishna, saw Krishna, they couldn't forget him. So he became the object of constant meditation and hatred. They hated him and they were thinking of lotus-eyed Krishna at all times, Govinda. They were thinking of this beautiful form of Krishna. And they could not help but think of it all the time, day and night. Waking and sleeping and dreaming and walking and talking and whatever, thinking that demon Krishna, that rascal Krishna with the lotus eyes. And they could not help say the name Krishna. So both the form of Krishna and the name of Krishna are all powerful and all attractive. So they kept chanting the name of Krishna and thinking of the form of Krishna because of its attractive features. So even in hatred, that meditation and chanting of the name of Krishna will gradually remove all the karmas and all the desires and all the ahankara, etc. Gradually all gets removed. With the other forms, Rama and Narasimhadeva didn't constantly meditate on him. Well, they didn't become purified at all. Got killed, yes. Got some advancement that way. So same person, same jiva, three times had experience of the Lord. But when the experience with Krishna, then they concentrate on Krishna. They become purified. When they're sufficiently qualified, then Supreme Lord takes a Sudarshan Chakra. Apparently he kills them. But the Sudarshan Chakra actually is non-different from the Lord. So the Lord's quality ultimately is prema. He is filled with prema. And the Sudarshan Chakra is filled with prema. So when it touches Hiranyakasipu, or not, Sisupala, he gets prema. And then he's qualified to go to Vaikuntha. Huh? So, of course, as I said, we could say, well, that anyway, Jaya and Vijaya came from the spiritual world, they go back to the spiritual world. But not every day of Brahma. Yeah, this is not Jaya and Vijaya. It is regular jivas. And still, they get killed by Krishna and his Sudarshan Chakra and they end up in Vaikuntha because of that concentration on the Lord, because Krishna's all attractive features. So this is illustration given by Rupa Goswami to show that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Of all the different forms, he is most excellent. He is supreme form, with supreme qualities, supreme attraction. And therefore, even people that hate him get attracted to him and become purified. So this is the unique quality of Krishna. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made Krishna the object of worship in our sampradaya. But not only Krishna. Krishna in his highest form. In Raja, with Radha, that is considered the highest form of Krishna. Krishna has many manifestations also. That's the highest form. So Radha and Krishna is the highest. And that is manifested in our temples where we have Radha and Krishna. It's manifested in Hare Krishna mantra, where we have Hara, who is Radha, and we have Krishna. So, normally, of course, this is very difficult to access. Very difficult to get the highest thing. Just like if we have a rare jewel, it's not you can pick it off the street or anything. It's in some showcase in some jewelry store with guards all around it, and you can't get that jewel. So, yes, Krishna is very high. Not available to most people. Only a few times, only once in the day of Brahma he appears. Before that nobody knows about Krishna at all. It's only when he appears that we know about him. And even when they see him, they can't recognize him, and if most demons are bewildered, they don't know it, they think he's a human being. So it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually reveals Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. Yes, he's accepted by others. other Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya has also accepted Krishna, but only as some avatar of Vishnu. But to take Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's revelation, which is, of course, continued by the Goswamis and our Acharyas. But not only that Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, but Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in Madhurya Rasa. So therefore we have Radha and Krishna on the altar as the highest form of Krishna, where he manifests all of his qualities in full. And that is revealed through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why on our altar we don't have Radha, we have this Garanga here also, or Chaitanya deity here also, because to get to Radha Krishna, we have to go through Lord Chaitanya. So we have a Lord Chaitanya on our altar also. And so we can't approach directly. Through the mercy of Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can approach Krishna and Radha. So, and in, as I said, in Krishna, then we have all the forms. So we have Nrsimhadev, and we have everyone else there. So our principal object of worship is Krishna and Radha and Krishna. But just as the Bhagavatam is ultimately about Krishna, and therefore the 10th canto is dedicated to Krishna's pastimes, we see throughout the Bhagavatam all the different avatars are described, and not only bhakti is described, we get karma yoga, jnana yoga, sangha yoga also described, so many things are described, so many forms are described, devatas are also described. So, what is the purpose? The purpose ultimately of Bhagavatam is to relate everything to Krishna. Everything is traced back to Krishna. All the other avatar forms ultimately in Krishna. All the other processes are included within bhakti. So similarly, in our deities again, we have deities of Radha and Krishna. So, we can worship the other forms with the understanding that actually they're manifestations of Krishna. Whatever is in Nrsimhadev or Ramchandra or any other form, also included within Krishna. But Krishna has special qualities. So therefore, the recommendation of Bhagavatam, recommendation of Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami is that in Kali Yuga, the ultimate object of worship is Krishna. This will deliver everyone because he's the most attractive form, and he's the most merciful form. But to get there, to get that realization, then we have to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's his mercy through the name that we approach. Okay. Hare Krishna. So the question is that Tarnikasu asked for a benediction, he shouldn't be killed by any living entity. This ordinary living entity is usually the Bhutas, the Jivas. Because Tarnikasu doesn't believe in God. So everybody is living entity, they're all Jivas. So Vishnu is also another Jiva with pious activities for him. So, if God kills him, it's no problem. It's not a jiva.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. When Ramchandra killed Ravana, so he was elevated.
Yeah, he became Shishupala.
Yes, but in what sense he was elevated?
Elevated in the sense he doesn't go to hell and he gets a nice comfortable life. He was a king, he had a kingdom, he enjoyed very nicely on earth, he got some bhoga. He didn't go to hell. Normally the asuras must go to hell, yes? And gradually in Bhagavad Gita says they sink down and they become grass or something like that. gradually asuras sink down. But when the Lord kills them, they don't sink down. He gives them nice bhoga in the material world.
But Maharaj, it seems that Ravana enjoyed more than Shishupal. It seems that Ravana enjoyed material pleasure more than Shishupal.
Well, they had a big kingdom, but we cannot really say enjoyment is based only upon, let's say, the kingdom or anything. There must be all sorts of other things. You know, some rich men don't enjoy also. Some kings don't enjoy. Some poor men also enjoy. But anyway, he was given a, you know, sufficient position.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, if Jaya and Vijaya had only three births, then Jaga and Mada in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also said to be Jaya and Vijaya. So how is that?
It is mentioned like that some places, but I looked in the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, which is more or less the official identity of the associates of Gauranga. It's not mentioned there. So where that comes from, I don't know. Of course, we could say extra expansion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As mentioned, that the Lord assumed lines of head, and also on the Sri Vishnu Acharya explaining, that because Hiranyakashipu told Prahlad, if you could not show your Vishnu in this pillar, I will attack you. Like a lion attack elephants and drink some blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Krishna thought.
Okay.
I will attack.
Assume the lion form.
Yes.
Back there,
you
had a question.
Maharaj, you were saying about that not always Jaya and Vijaya come down. But we hear in Prabhupada's books that Jaya and Vijaya
don't
they
come
have
down
to
all
give
the
a
time.
Good fight to learn a singer that being devotees,
yeah.
Only devotees could give pleasure to learn a singer that been a big fight. So when Jaya and Vijaya don't come, some other jiva comes. This how is that the Lord gets pleasure from the fight?
Yeah. So this is a special appearance of the demons because of this arrangement of Jaya and Vijaya. They had this desire, but even that desire is not considered not so good in one sense. That's what Vrishmanas says in the Madhurya Kadambani. So even that desire is not a constant desire that they should become demons. Once they had that desire, and then they became the demons, and then that's it. Otherwise, there's some demons in the material world that start fighting with the Lord. Yeah.
In hearing that we have been fallen to this material world,
yeah.
So we were, and it is also heard that we were also devotees of Krishna in the spiritual sky.
Yeah.
So that means Jaya Vijaya was there in the spiritual sky,
yeah.
And we were also there in the spiritual sky. That's what we understand.
Well,
so in that sense, are we also separated from the Lord? In what sense should we understand this?
Well, that's the controversy, of course, whether we're like Jaya and Vijaya or not. But we cannot really claim that we're like Jaya and Vijaya. Little problem there because we didn't get a curse or anything like that, so we're not in that special category, definitely. One way of explaining it is simply to take the idea that we can't explain our origin because it's an adi, and therefore we simply accept our position here in the material world. That we are an adi in the material world, so we can't trace anything back further than this. From the other point of view, from the bhava or prema point of view, of course, like the prema bhaktas, you see everybody is a devotee of the Lord, even the demons. So in that sense, yes, maybe we are eternally in the spiritual world also simultaneously.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was reading Bhagavad Gita and it says, Brahmabhut prasannatma na soshati na kankhati sama sarvuteshu mad bhakti lapte param. So I think the Brahmabhut's definition is no desires, right? So why God will have the desires for special arrangement to come Jayan Vijayan in this loka.
Why Lord will have special desire to?
Because it says that Brahmabhut Prasannatma na shochati na akankshati. So the Brahmabhut, the person who is on the Brahmabhut, he will not have any desires.
Well, there's spiritual desires and there's material desires. Obviously, the liberated Jiva and the Supreme Lord have no material desires. That is, they have no desire for having a material body and enjoying for themselves or whatever. We cannot say the Jiva is without desire completely, or the Supreme Lord has no desire, because we have the Ichcha Shakti of the Lord. Ichcha means desire. That's one of the eternal Shaktis of the Lord. He has a desire for expressing Ananda in the spiritual world. He has so many desires in the spiritual world to satisfy the devotees. The devotees have desires to serve Krishna and please Krishna. But desire is not absent in the Jiva in the pure state. There's so much desire, but it's all directed towards the Supreme Lord on the part of the Jiva, and the Supreme Lord's desires are directed to giving Ananda to the Jivas there. Hare Krishna.
भगवान विष्णुदेव की अतराज बलो महाराज की।